for many personalities out there, a lot of people who are listening, is the end game.
Yep.
The end game is to constantly be growing and thriving and building and developing yourself.
Yep.
It's, what's the phrase? It's not the finish line, it's the journey or whatever that phrase is. That's what we're going for here.
Yep.
We're going for the sanctification process and everything, including our career. And that's what I hunger for. So I try to do things every day that challenge my practical skills,
mm-hmm.
like how many social media posts can I plan today for my guy?
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. This is Neil Smith, and I am solo on this one, but I am still at NRB. I have a special guest on this podcast, so I'm solo in that Nick Runyon is not with me on this podcast, but I do have a special guest, Casey Helmick. Casey, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is great. It's crazy here. Like, people running around, people getting lost. I love NRB. It's great. If you haven't been, you should come sometime.
Yeah. So we want more innovative young leaders here at NRB next year. Some great community, great engagement. It's not going to be the Gaylord next year, but the Gaylord is nuts. Have you been here before?
I have, and I get lost every single time. It is nuts. And do you know where it is? Is it in Anaheim next year?
Anaheim.
Oh, yep. It's killer. Like, every young person wants to come to Anaheim and, like, do Anaheim in the sun and the warm. So we would love to meet a few more people. It's all about the meetups. It's all about getting to know each other, hanging out. So it's awesome.
So Casey and I have known each other online for a bit, but we just met face-to-face this morning for the first time.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I love about social media is you get to meet people sometimes that you could never meet otherwise, or it's interesting how I feel like I knew you already before we met, and then we get to have face-to-face interaction. It's my belief that face-to-face is better than digital engagement, but it's a both and. Either or. Tell me, Casey, before we get into that, what do you do? Tell us who you are a little bit.
Yeah, that's a big question. So, like, I would like to say, my identity is that, Christ follower. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I got two small kids, and I'm all about that first, all about that. But 9 to 5, like, I'm focused on social media, I'm focused on digital marketing. I'm working for Pastor James McDonald out of Chicago, doing a lot of really cool things. Big church, big vision, lots of cool things happening, and getting to partner with an awesome guy who's an innovator himself.
Yep.
and loves the new generation coming up.
Yep.
And super encouraged by that, and really encouraged to be here meeting new people, meeting people that I kind of know through social media, and breaking the barrier. I often wonder about our grandparents. And they didn't have this whole social media thing.
Yep.
And they had to meet face-to-face, and they had to pick up the phone. And I think this is a rabbit trail that we don't have to go down, but I think our generation is hungry for that. Like, we have a lot of social. We're really good at it. We're really good at making connections. But there is something really important about sitting across the table from somebody, sharing a cup of coffee, doing life with them, and we're getting hungry for that. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Again, that's why we're pounding the table. Like, get to NRB next year so you can meet us face to face. I don't just want to become Facebook friends with a bunch of people. I want to do life with them. So that's some of the passion and drive we have, and that carries into my job. Like, we may do social media.
Yep.
The two of us sitting here may do social media professionally, but we're extraordinarily passionate about making real connections with real people.
Yep.
That's where life happens. That's what our faith is about. It's key.
Yeah, I love it. So let's talk about what specifically does your role entail, and I want to talk about how you got there, but what your role entail, what does a normal week look like?
All craziness.
In your week from a professional standpoint.
Yeah. I really want to hammer one nail that I've been growing in. And a lot of social media professionals are fly by the seat of their pants type people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really good in reactionary posting. They're really good in reactionary content development. And that's a great skill to have. Everybody needs that.
Mm-hmm.
I've really been growing in spending, for me, it's morning time planning. A lot of my week is designated, is blocked off, is closed door, is quiet, headphones on, planning what I could do for my guy, for my pastor, a month from now. maybe 2 months from now, if I can dream that far, some really neat things have been unlocked for me jumping a month ahead and not a day ahead. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my time, I actually have it on my calendar. While we were at breakfast this morning, it popped up as a notification. So clearly I failed today, I'll admit that. But I have it as planning time, 8:30 to 9:30 every morning, planning time, private time just for me. Get pen and paper, start to dream, start to put some stuff to some dates. That's been really helpful. So I have that, and then we do a lot of events. So I end up popping around a little bit, traveling a little bit, covering a lot of events. And then I'm doing social media for a pastor, so Saturdays, Sundays, that's game time. We're in the zone. We're covering essentially Super Bowl weekend every weekend, making sure that we get the message out that that our pastor is spending so much time and effort building. And that's been another area of learning how to prepare for that, learning how to execute in the moment, learning how to do some post things. So that's a typical social week. I do a lot of digital marketing, and we're currently, as everybody seems to be, we're currently looking at a website rebuild, looking to invest a little bit more into a WordPress website for you geeky guys out there who know that, and just really trying to build a strong, solid foundation for all things marketing for the organization I serve. Social media just happens to be a very hot topic, a very something that our leaders have bought into. So that's a little bit. But every week's different. If you work in social media, you know every week's different.
Every week's different. That's right. Well, let's talk about how you got into your role. So a lot of people be like, man, I want, that sounds like a dream job to me. How do you get into this?
Yeah. I don't think there's a good path of go to this college, study this topic. Social media is something that everybody knows just enough about to be dangerous. And I read something recently that this rule was thrown out, but I still believe in it. This 10,000 hour rule, like you spend 10,000 hours doing something, that's how you become an expert in it. And I found that to be very true with social media. You just got to start. Starts with your own. Everybody has their own. Then it starts with maybe somebody you know who's doing a podcast or doing a coming out with a book, or like get roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, and start doing it. Start learning how to do things like running a Facebook ad. Start learning how to plan a content calendar for someone or for yourself. And as you start to develop that muscle or those muscles, people start to notice. You start to learn what you're good at, what you're not good at. So for me, we actually didn't talk about this morning, so this will be a little bit new for all of us. I lived in a small town in North Carolina. And I launched a website that featured local photography. And the part of North Carolina we lived in is literally the most beautiful place in the entire world, in the mountains of North Carolina. I stand by that. I don't care if you guys are out there debating me right now, but it is the top place. And
I believe
tons of people come and just hike and climb mountains and do go down by the riverbeds and just take tons of photos. And I saw nobody was doing anything with them. They were just kind of floating out there. So I started a hashtag, I started a website, and I would start to create user-generated content and really just learn social media and put my own things in there. And the site just exploded and took off. 50,000 visitors the second month we launched. 100,000 within 6 months. It was crazy. People were, it had a kind of a tourism flair, even though I didn't really promote anything. I didn't do ads. I just, it was all about social for me. And that got noticed by some people at an organization called Samaritan's Purse. I, you know, there's a lot more to that story, but during the process of interviewing, that website was a key part of our conversation. And they wanted to know why I would do something like that and how I did it. And they really unpacked my love and desire to do great social media through this little side project I had done. The project cost me something in the ballpark of $100 to do. There was a lot of time. Time is valuable, but it was a passion project. And the leaders of this, you know, top 50 in the world organization tucked away in this little town in Boone, North Carolina. They saw it and they appreciated the effort and the time I put into it and the vision I had for it. And that resonated with something that I couldn't even see at the time. They said, we're looking for someone who's passionate about this skill. I was doing the skill on a completely different topic and they pieced it together, not even me. And I like to think I'm a vision person. I see it, but they were able to see that. So again, if you're looking for how to get into it, just start. Yes. Just do something. Yes. It's Squarespace is, I don't know how much a month, but it's super cheap.
$7 a month.
$7 a month. Start a little website. Yeah. Start a hashtag. Start communicating with people on social. Yep. Turn, if you're into more of a persona type deal, turn your social into something that is more public facing and that you're proud of. There's lots of ways to start. There's lots of people doing podcasts who would love to have some free labor to come and help push this stuff out to more people. So I would just say start. So that's kind of how I got into it. Samaritan's Purse was key in building my skills, really building me from the ground up. And that's where I learned my craft.
Okay.
Got my passion, I think, by the Lord just giving it to me. But learned my craft surrounded by some professional communicators who said, why are you doing it that way? Do it this way.
Yep.
They maybe didn't understand social media like the younger crowd does, but they knew how to communicate well. And we can't forget social media for organizations, for big public figures, for anything beyond your personal Facebook page, and maybe even that, it's all about communication.
Yep.
It's no different than the newspaper was 100 years ago.
It is all about communication, but it is learning to communicate in a new way in these new mediums. I love your story is so much like mine, and that same thing happened to me. I was at a place, I was a youth pastor, and honestly, I was ready for a change, and I was like, I literally wanted to do online ministry, but I was like, no church, like Life Church was doing it, and I was like, no church is really going to invest in this, so I'm going to like learn a lot about it, and maybe in 5 years a church will take a risk on me.
Sure.
I started blogging about online ministry, about anything I could find about this. Literally about 3 months later, Robert Emmett in San Antonio, Texas, the senior pastor of Community Bible Church, read my blog. I had 6 people a day that would visit my website. That was it. Awesome. My mom probably going twice.
That's awesome.
And Robert was one of those. I literally got a call one day saying, this is Robert Emmett. Can we go to lunch tomorrow?
Wow.
At lunch for the next day. At lunch, he's like, what do you think about coming and joining our team? I thought we were talking about something totally, I thought we were going to talk about college ministry, which is what I was doing. And he said, I've been reading your blog. I'm really interested in this. Are you interested in doing this? I'm like, yes.
Now, so how long had you been blogging for?
3 months.
3 months.
Now, I hadn't even crafted a skill at that point. I was just interested in it. And I started posting about it and developing. Honestly, what I started developing is the ability to communicate online. I started the ability to write. I started the ability to promote that blog to those, you know, to attract 6 people to come. And so I think to your point, just start. I could have written a bunch of blog posts that maybe I'd use in the future. Maybe I'd make them perfect before I
would
post. I just started putting them out there.
Right.
And I tried to, and I was creating a discipline. I wanted to blog, and this was when blogging was a bigger deal.
Of course.
Once a day. And so just to your point of just start using it as, and you will get better. I think I love that 10,000 hours. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Is and I think I hear a lot of people. I live in the consulting world now. Yeah. That will say, okay, I'm ready to be a consultant. I'm like, you've done this for maybe like 6 months.
Right.
Like, you're not ready. Well,
let's
to
put
be
that
a
in perspective. 10,000 hours. That's a full time job, all in for 3 years. Because sometimes 10,000, it's like,
that's a good word.
10,000, is that too big? Is that too small? It's 3 years of, like, head down, my only thing, all the time. So you got lucky and did 3 months and got noticed. Most people aren't going to – it's not going to happen that quick.
That's right.
I ran my little side project for 2 years before it came to fruition on anything. You are talking about a process that we discussed this morning about reverse engineering.
Yes.
You kind of saw where you wanted to go.
Yep.
What do you say to the people, and a lot of people in our generation feel this, I'm not quite sure where I want to go, but I know a few things I like, and we're saying try them.
Yes.
You are forward-thinking enough to know the end game or some version of it and live that out. I wasn't. I kind of just felt like, I want to do this. It feels right. It feels like a low-risk thing.
Yep.
What's the worst that can happen? An embarrassing, who's that guy and what's he doing that stupid thing for? That's the worst, okay?
Sure.
So very low risk and low entry for me, but I had no idea where it was going to go. Do you feel like more people are in one side of that bucket that you talk to? They know the end game or they don't?
Yeah, I think more people don't know the end game, and I think that's even more reason to kind of get out there and start finding different opportunities and building relationships. And so when I was in that season of transition, one of the other things that somebody, you know, walked me through was go and find the 100 most influential people you know and just ask them for direction. And so I was kind of in an aimless season. I was getting more and more focused on where I wanted to go. And I'll tell you what happened is I started blogging and 3 months in, I got a new job.
Yeah.
But I kept blogging throughout that. And 2 years in, maybe a year and a half in, I got a book deal. You know, I never wanted to be a writer.
Sure.
But that was fruit beyond what I anticipated. So, so that's where God just began to do more than I ever dreamed. And so I think that's where I just think to your point of like, just get out there.
Right.
And you can pivot at any point. And you're probably going to pivot in some way.
Absolutely.
But you are going to miss opportunities if you do nothing.
Absolutely.
So doing nothing and just hoping you figure it out one day is not the answer. Okay, I want to dig into practically what your role looks like, because you manage a lot and you have you cut your teeth on Samaritan's Purse. This is not a small thing, and with Franklin Graham now you're managing very significant with James McDonald and the ministry there. What's your team look like? How do you manage social media from content to responding to comments and messages and all of that?
It's a challenge. Right now we're building the team. I'm newer on the team. I'm about a year in, and you can tell my voice is a little distracted because part of this role is 24/7 all the time. I'm currently doing social while I'm talking about social. It's an interesting life to live. I would say that the practical nature, like the most down to earth way to describe getting into social media in ministry is that there's a book out there titled Boundaries, and you need to pick it up and you need to read it and you need to consume it multiple times and understand that you're entering a field that's very demanding, and you're entering a field that's going to ask more of you than you probably should give or can give long term, at least. Yep. And you have to establish boundaries. So sometimes that looks like building a team around you. Sometimes for maybe churches out there, it looks like building a team of volunteers around you. Sometimes it looks like relying on your boss as much as you can. A lot of multitasking, a lot of building up muscles that you didn't think you were capable of building. And that's where I really feel like the Lord has to walk with you, give you vision. You need to be praying for that every day. You need to be on your knees saying, Lord, what is that thing you have for me today? It may be a new staff member that can help you out.
Yeah.
It may be a meeting at NRB that's encouraging and develops you professionally. Mm-hmm. It may be a new book that helps you develop boundaries in your life, but that's really crucial. So I would say very practically, start reading books, start listening to some podcasts from people who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So step one, do it.
Yeah.
Step two, listen to people who are doing it so that you can develop a better understanding. What's going to happen, and this happened to me in my role at Samaritan's Purse, again, a top 25 largest nonprofit in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who, by the way, defeated Ebola and a lot of other stuff. Like, big deal, okay?
Yep.
Not because, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying it is a great organization, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What started to happen is as I grew in my skill set, I built confidence in leaders and was handed more.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm handed more, then that's when you start to say, maybe this is more than social media. Maybe this is digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is mass communication.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is supporting the CEO with social media and other things. And your boundaries just start to grow and grow and grow. And that, for many personalities out there, a lot of people who are listening, is the end game.
Yep.
The end game is to constantly be growing and thriving and building and developing yourself.
Yep.
It's, what's the phrase? It's not the finish line, it's the journey or whatever that phrase is. That's what we're going for here.
Yep.
We're going for the sanctification process and everything, including our career. That's what I hunger for. So I try to do things every day that challenge my practical skills,
mm-hmm.
like how many social media posts can I plan today for my guy?
Yep.
how forward-thinking can I be to predict what his next thing might be? How can I plan something that might start an initiative and a wave in my organization? I try to do things like that every single day, even on the busy days, because it's important for me to continue to live into that God has given me, that the Lord has placed before me. And you can be a leader as a social media professional in your organization in 6 months. Mm. That's how important social media is right now in the landscape of everything. You can instantly be a leader if you study your craft, work hard, set up clear boundaries, follow leadership. You can be welcomed into a circle of people who trust you and present you with opportunities that are much bigger than yourself. I'm super passionate about that. Social media used to be on the back burner. It used to be the last thing we would do. Yep. And for the first time ever, leaders are starting to recognize the power and the amplification process of social. Yep. And they want it. They're hungry for it. They want a young person that can run it with energy.
Yep.
It's out there, guys.
I love that. And I think I love, too, you speaking of boundaries, because the internet does not start at 8 and it does not stop at 5. I cannot imagine somebody being effective just working. Well, I say that there probably are people that would be effective just 8 to 5, but I think there are aspects of we've got to flex a little bit in the way we see boundaries and the way we manage those and manage that tension is critically important.
Right.
There's just a challenge there, and it requires leadership. It requires just thinking a little outside of the box, but being intentional to create those healthy boundaries as a leader, as you drive the innovation in this area. I would love to hear how is it that you measure success on social media?
Wow. Yeah. It's changed even in the last couple months. We were talking a little bit about this morning over coffee.
Yeah.
I think that, so I'm super passionate about helping our generation, not worried about the next generation, it's too much to even think about, but just our generation, the millennial generation, understand that we've been oversaturated with information, oversaturated with technology, oversaturated with marketing and advertising, and the list could go on and on. And what that's going to mean is that we're going to hunger for relationship, real relationship, real interaction. One of the phrases we use at the organization I work for right now is, you don't walk away from a friend. And that's what we want to develop in our donors and our supporters as a friend. We don't want to develop somebody who can casually come in and out. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what business or organization you work in, that is going to be true. You want to develop tight relationships with your supporters or your customers or your church attenders. We really strive for that. And I would say that I want to make sure that the young people listening to this podcast understand that the solution to our oversaturation isn't to shut down, to do a detox, although those things can be good sometimes. It's to move past social media into relationship. Mm-hmm. Social media is the entry point for me and you to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it took me jumping on a plane from Chicago and you coming from New York or wherever the last stop is you had, sitting at a table, drinking a cup of coffee, getting to know each other.
Yep.
So the challenge of a lifetime for social media professionals is how to do that on a mass scale.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And adding to that, social media then continues our relationship after this face-to-face and continues to develop.
We're in a dream scenario. You know, people who lived in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, they had no idea.
Yeah.
They had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, at best, pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah.
Which was great. But the tools at our fingertips, we shouldn't take these for granted. And the challenging part that I see is they're for our generation, we grew up with these tools. So they're very personal tools. Mm-hmm. But they're also professional tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear a podcast in the future with somebody way more knowledgeable than me on this topic about how do we differentiate between it being a personal, we're just buddies tool, and this is a professional development tool or a tool to use to fundraise for my organization or a tool to get more people to my church event or a tool. How do we differentiate, and how do we be leaders as young people? How do we lead our organizations in understanding when the appropriate times are to use the tools that way? We faced a lot of challenges in helping develop that, and the barriers are just getting harder. So the last thing I'll say on that topic is Success for me is not defined anymore as broad reach. It used to be, wow, this week we reached millions of people or hundreds of thousands, or for, you know, the, some of the churches I work for, we reached thousands of people this week. That's not success, guys. Success is driving real interaction. It doesn't have to be physical. It can still be digital things, but it's driving an action in a user. It's driving a moment. Often I will do posts for my pastor and I'll get 1,000 comments, and you know what they all say? Amen.
Yeah.
Thankful for the comments.
Yeah.
Super thankful for the interaction.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you follow Pastor James McDonald and you do that, please keep doing that.
Yeah.
But that's gotten to the point where it's not enough. Like, I want real interaction with people. And so it started to change the way I develop my content.
Mm.
I don't want to develop content anymore that gives people the chance to end with just amen.
Yeah.
I want to drive them to conversation and interaction and giving us prayer requests and us being able to interact with them and drive them to deeper community or a resource that they might need or an event they might need to go to.
Yeah.
We have to start taking ownership of success being engagement through interactions, not mass reach, not how many followers you have.
Yep.
If you follow social media, you know followers, the amount of followers you have is starting to become more and more and more insignificant. The amount of total reach a post has for you is starting to become more and more insignificant. And ministries often live by this mantra, we just are trying to reach the right person, the one guy, one girl who needed to see that post.
Yep.
We got to get back to some of that flavor.
Yep. So in your years of doing social media now, is there one story that just stirs in your mind when you think about, man, this is why we do this, you know? And this.
So I have a fresh one. I have a fresh one, and I'll kind of hide a little bit of the details because it's a little bit more a little bit personal for the person who shared it with us. But with the ministry I'm with right now, we were planning a large donor event. So for those of you out there that do communication, large donor events are the hardest.
Yep.
You got to find the right people to get there. You got to find it. You got to find the location. You got to plan all the details. It's usually somewhere far out that you haven't been before, et cetera.
Yep.
One of the key things you want to do in a large donor event is you want to tell stories. You want to tell stories of people who have been impacted by your ministry, by your organization, by your company.
Yep.
Okay, so we were looking for these stories, and I was able to source some stories from social media. One of the stories that we sourced was a lady who had been supporting our organization for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years. We had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
We had some real basic donor data on us, but to her, she was family.
Yeah.
To us, she was a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
That was so eye-opening for our team. How could someone view themselves so intimately close with us, and we didn't even know who they were?
Yeah.
The interaction that caused it was social.
Mm-hmm.
I put out a thing that said, we're looking for great stories. We're looking to understand our donors better. I can't quite remember how I worded it, but it was a nuanced way to say, hey, we appreciate you. We want to know more about you. If you listen to our podcast, if you watch our program on TV, if you listen to us on radio, tell us your story. We want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this lady's story was just magnificent. Her daughter had gone through a couple stints of cancer.
Wow.
They had gotten to a place where they knew this last stint was it.
Yep.
She was in her early 20s.
Wow.
And they used our ministry materials at the end to develop a better understanding of how to approach the end.
Wow.
And it was so powerful that she would use our materials for that need in the moment. And then she started to use those materials to share the message with nurses and family members, and we became the resource at the finish line that she went to. And here's a person that had developed such a deep relationship with us. Her family had developed such a deep relationship with us that we were family, but we couldn't see that until we harvested that relationship through social media.
Wow.
The power of social is, it's social. Like, you can connect with people and people feel like they can get to know you.
Yep.
So there's thousands like that I've interacted with.
Yep.
There's a lot more, like practical, like fundraising through social, where you had some, killer moments, like, wow, how could that have happened? Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. But it's the heart stories that really move people.
Yeah.
And it's the intangibles that are powerful. Yeah. And there's no better tool out there than social media, yeah, to allow people to open up with your organization,
yeah,
and hand off their story, yep, which they view as our story,
yes,
right to you,
yep,
for free,
yep,
in your inbox, in your social feed. It's crazy.
I love it. I love too that one of the things that so many ministries miss, they see social media as another broadcast channel,
right?
And if you're not listening, you would have missed that story.
Exactly.
And we have to be listening. That's at least 50%, if not more, of social media engagement. Last question, Casey.
Sure.
If you could share one thing with pastors and ministry leaders about social media,
yeah,
what would that be, that one key piece of advice?
Just as much as I'm saying start, roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, I felt a burden to make sure people understand the longevity of social and being careful with what you share and don't share and being calculated. Like, social, you can't erase it. Mm-hmm. And it's out there forever, and life is about perception, and you may think you're sitting in front of your church's Facebook page today typing a very clear message, or you're sitting on your personal page today sharing an article to a blog or a website that you think is appropriate. But ministry leaders in all areas, but especially social, we have to be hypersensitive to perception of our church members, of our community, friends and family, of coworkers. Mm-hmm. We need to carry more of that burden. We need to be careful. I have a pretty close family friend who's going through a little bit of this right now, where for years he's used his social to tell his truth, to speak his opinion, and it's kind of come back when he's been approached with some new opportunities. People have gone through his feeds.
Mm-hmm.
They said, what does he actually believe? Mm. Well, where are we going to go to find that? We're going to go to Twitter. We're going to, yep, go to his Facebook page. Ministry leaders need to be very careful, and I've seen a lot of ministry leaders haphazardly use these tools. So just be careful. It's the most important, least important thing you'll ever do. It's just Facebook, but it also is Facebook, one of the biggest companies in the world, and we got to treat it in that paradox at all times. The most important, least important thing you'll ever do. Just living into that. Don't pass this off to a young person. You own it. If you're listening, you're a pastor, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, you're in your 60s, you're 85, mm-hmm, you're listening to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the joy of a lifetime to be able to communicate with real people through something like Facebook or Twitter, or have fun with it. Don't pass it off to a young person. If you don't have to, if your time allows, don't pass it off. Own it. Take joy in it. Be careful with it. Just get started right now. Like, right now, stop listening. Actually, I shouldn't say that, but just get started. Maybe tweet out a link to the podcast.
There you go. That'd be a good first post. That's right, great. After listening to.
Yeah, you might get a retweet from.
There you go. That's awesome. Casey, thank you so much for your time. It's the most important, least important thing you'll ever do. Such a good line. I'm going to be using that so many times in the future. And I'll do my best to quote you whenever I do repeat that. So thanks for your time and your leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Been great.